The following program is paid for by the friends and partners of Joyce Meyer Ministries.
Well, no matter what's happened in life, there's no excuse to stop and park on our journey with God. There's still time for us to be all we can be for His glory. I hope today you'll be encouraged to move past any pain that has caused you to settle and not seek the fulfillment of your goals. And later we're going to chat with my special guest, Pastor John Gray, and discuss ways that we can move beyond pain and go after our goals. All right, how many of you see my sign? That's the title of my message tonight. No parking at any time. Some of you have had your life in park for way too long, and it's time to get it out of park, put it in gear, and put Jesus in the driver's seat, and get going. We're going to start with Genesis 11 and verse 32. And Terah took Abram, his son, Lot, the son of Haran, his grandson, and Sarai, his daughter-in-law, her son Abram's wife, and they went forth together to go from Ur of the Chaldees into the land of Canaan. But, now you know, that word always creates a problem. Always. You can see that they started out for somewhere, but when they came to Haran, they settled there. They settled. I've come to kind of despise that word because I think far too many people settle. They settle for a life that's so much less than what Jesus wants to give them. They settle for staying at a job that they can't stand just because they'll make a few more dollars there than they would if they went and did what they really loved. They have a dream for their life, they have a goal, and it gets a little tough, it gets a little hard, and so they settle. And how many women even settle for a guy that they know is not really right, but they're just kind of desperate and afraid they'll never have anybody, so they get themselves into another mess that lasts for a lifetime because they didn't want to wait for the right thing? And I think it's time that we stop settling and we start going all the way through with God, all the way through to the place where we start out to go when we get started. Wouldn't it be kind of foolish if we started this conference and halfway through decided, well, it's been enough. We've worked hard enough this weekend. We're just going to settle right here and not finish the rest of it. You'd all think we were about half crazy, but yet people do that all the time in their lives. And then verse 32 says, and this is the part that I think is really important, and Terah lived 205 years, and Terah died in Haran. So actually, here's the thing that I've learned. He started out to go to Canaan, but he settled in Haran, and he died where he settled. He died where he settled. Now, you might keep breathing, but if you settle for less than what's really in your heart, there's going to be something in you that's going to die. Something in your soul is going to sour and give up, because we all of us, if you're a Christian, God has put a desire in you to not be mediocre, to be all you can be, to be excellent, and to do something worth doing other than just walking around the planet and just breathing and taking up space. Amen? But it takes a little bit of courage, doesn't it? He died where he settled. Years ago, when I was first... Well, really, at that time, all I had was a home Bible study in my home. And I was getting ready to go look to a little, it wasn't a Bible college thing, but it was a 3-night-a-week thing at my church where we were going to learn more about the Bible. They called it the Elijah program. And somewhere during that time, I got really tired and worn out. We had kids and we're trying to do all this stuff. And one night I had a dream, and I dreamed that I was driving in my car and I saw a bridge up ahead, and there was a little bit of water covering the bridge. It wasn't a lot of deep water, but it was some water that was going to make it a little bit difficult to drive through. And I noticed that some were turning around, going back in the other direction. A lot of people were pulling off to the side and parked. And so I pulled off to the side and parked, and I kept, in my dream, I would look at the bridge and the water, and then I'd look behind me, and then I'd look at the bridge, and then I'd look behind me. And I was trying to make a decision about whether to go on or to turn back. And when I woke up, immediately, God showed me what the dream meant. He said, in life and on this journey that I've called you on, there's going to be lots of places in the road where you can pull off to the side and park. But you can also decide to go all the way through and finish your journey. And I'm going to tell you, some of you have pulled off to the side of the road of life and you have parked somewhere. It's time for you to get it in gear and get going again. Because God gives dreams and He doesn't take them back. They're still there waiting for you. There's still time for you to be all you can be, the best person that you can be, the greatest person that you can be, and you can do that for God's glory. Amen? Now, God promises us healing and restoration. And we're going to talk a fair amount about that this weekend. You know, we cannot always avoid the pain that wounds us, but we can choose to not let it ruin the remainder of our lives. Many people in here have been hurt, some very badly, and some of you have done some really bad things in your life. And I think that a lot of times people park at the point of their pain. How many people get hurt by their parents and they never really ever get over that? You might have somebody who was adopted. For whatever reason, their parents didn't want them. They weren't able to keep them. Or let's just take it to the extreme. They didn't want them. They didn't want them. And they can spend their whole life, trying to recover from that. And many of you know Chris Kane's story, and you know, I don't want to get into whatever she might be going to share in her messages, but even if I do, she'll share it better than me. You know, she found out when she was, what, 30? 33, that she was adopted. She never knew that. And make a long story short, she finally got a hold of her birth certificate, and her birth certificate said unwanted and unnamed. Unwanted and unnamed. And look at her now. Look at what she's doing now. Look at her. She didn't park at the point of her pain. My father sexually abused me for as many years as I could possibly remember. I didn't park at the point of my pain. I decided I was going to go ahead and have a life. I remember meeting a woman in a restaurant in Utah, and soon as she saw me and recognized me, she wanted to tell me her story. And so she's telling me how bad things are and how bad things have been. And she said, I'll tell you, Joyce, life has just thrown me under the bus. I said, you know what? It did me too, but I decided to drive it. Come on. I mean, it's time to shake some of this stuff off. It's time to stop just living your life with a chip on your shoulder, acting like everybody owes you something because you went through some pain. There's no doubt if you've been hurt, you are owed something. But I'll tell you what, God is the only person that can pay you back. Nobody else can. And as long as you're trying to collect from the wrong people, you are going to be miserable and stay miserable. God is in the business of healing and restoration. Your entire life does not have to be ruined because somebody hurt you way back when, or last week, or last night, or... And even if you did some terrible things, there are people sitting in here tonight, and I'm sure people watching by TV, that, like Ms. Shepherd, you've done something wrong, and you're hiding it. You're hiding from it. Maybe you didn't hit somebody with your van and run off, but it could have. Maybe you hurt somebody. Maybe you're in prostitution. Maybe you had several abortions, and now you wish that you wouldn't have done that. You know, regret is pretty much useless. We can be sorry for the things that we've done, but then we need to receive our forgiveness, and we need to go on. I mean, living with regret will just suck the life right out of you. Amen? And if you've done wrong things in the past and you're still holding that against yourself, it's time for you to say, I am going to shake that off. I am going to, you know, when I think about sometimes the things that were done to me when I was a child, to be honest, at this point, I feel like I'm thinking about somebody that I used to know a long, long time ago. It's like that's so much not me anymore. I don't sit around. I mean, now sometimes it'll come back to my mind and I have to decide, nope, been there, done that, not going back there. But you have to make decisions. You can't just go by what you feel all the time. God promises to heal and restore. This is such a great scripture. For I will restore health to you and I will heal your wounds, says the Lord. Because they, you know, let's stop for a minute and talk about they. It is amazing how much value we put on what they think and what they say and what they do. And one day, several years ago, I got to thinking, who are they? We let them run our life and we don't even know who they are. They have called you an outcast. It doesn't matter what they call you, it's what God calls you that matters. Saying, this is Zion whom no one seeks after and for whom no one cares. I love Psalm 27:10. Even though my mother and father have forsaken me, the Lord will take me up and adopt me as his own child. Hallelujah. Acts 9:34. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ the Messiah now makes you whole. I love the little amplification that the Amplified Bible puts in places like this. He does it now. And I want to say to you tonight, the Lord Jesus Christ now makes you whole. You don't have to go home full of holes bleeding anymore. Tonight, you can make a decision to receive God's love and healing and restoration, and you can go home whole. You don't have to stay parked at the point of your pain and ruin the rest of your life. Well, I'm getting ready to say something, and I want you to make your mind up before I say it that you're going to believe it. So here it comes. Jesus wants to make you whole, and he wants to do it starting right now. Choose to receive his love, his healing, and his restoration. Don't stay parked in your pain and settle for less than the best that God has for your life. Today, I have a special guest, Pastor John Gray, and together, we want to encourage you to never settle or allow any pain to prevent you from moving on. Pastor Gray will also be with us at the Women's Conference this year as one of our guest speakers, and we are excited to have him back. Well, Pastor John.
Mama Joyce.
Okay, you know, the thought that comes to me is I think a lot of people maybe look at people that they think are successful, mm-hmm. and which would be you, of course. And they think, well, you know, that guy's never had any problems. He's his life's been great, or boy, you know, they already know my life hasn't been great because I tell all the time. Mm-hmm. So I'd like to know a little bit about how many opportunities you've had in life to settle and not go on and be the John Gray God wants you to be.
Where do I start? I think the enemy always attempts to break up the family.
Yeah.
Because that was the first thing that we're introduced to in the Bible is, you know, Adam, Eve, mm-hmm. their children, and the enemy immediately seeks to break up, starting with the marriage and then with the children. And our family was no different. My mom and dad divorced when I was about 4 years old, somewhere in there, about 4 and a half. And it wasn't long after he left that I was a victim of sexual abuse, not at the hands of a family member, but that impacted me tremendously. I didn't know what had happened. I didn't know how to process it.
Yeah.
And I didn't share that for about 15 years.
Yeah.
Because you don't even know what you're dealing with.
Right.
But in that moment, I saw where not having a covering, not having a father present, mm-hmm. could have very easily been the beginning of me making excuses for not trying to not only achieve goals, but to serve God. The idea of a heavenly father mm-hmm. is very difficult for someone when your earthly father has not done what they need to do.
Right.
And so thank God I had a mother strong in prayer, strong in the word, who lived a life of Christ-likeness in front of me. And so she wouldn't allow the excuse of not having a father to be a reason why I started exhibiting negative behaviors. She was like, you are going to serve God.
That's great.
You're going to be a man of integrity. You're going to be a virgin when you get married. I mean, she was speaking all of these things, and I'm like, Mom, I'm like 12. I'm unattractive. I've got buck teeth. Nobody wants me. You can calm down. But these moments that come to interrupt, you know, we can't get caught up in the comma. That's what I say.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, some things look like exclamation points, but they're really commas.
Right.
Not having a father seemed like an exclamation point, but through Jesus, it became a comma.
Right.
He has the power to change it. Moments where I lost loved ones, my grandmother, who was the matriarch of our family, who spoke things about me when I was 1 and 2 years old that are coming to pass right now in my life, this level of prophetic voice. When she died of brain cancer, I said, God, I prayed. You know, you didn't answer my prayer. Well, I'm mad at you. I don't think I want to serve you. And that's how close we are. Like, I say dumb stuff, and he still loves me. I'm like, I'm not gonna serve you.
God is so impressed when we tell him we're mad at him.
Yes, I think he gets tickled, because now that I have a son and he gets mad at me, he says, Daddy, I'm mad at you.
Yeah.
And then 3 seconds later, he's like, I love you.
Yeah.
And that's me.
Yeah.
And I think my Heavenly Father understands who I am at my core. And there are moments where I felt like giving up, sitting on the sidelines, having dealt with loss, the loss of my best friend. I held his hand when he took his last breath.
Yeah.
And I said, God, I'm never going to let anybody get this close to me again.
Yeah.
And God says, you got to be careful of your words, because those times of intimacy and relationship and the developing of those relationships is something that God doesn't want me to run from, because loss is just a part of life.
Right.
But when you know who you are in Christ and when you know where these people are going, you get excited and say, one day, hopefully not soon, but one day I'll be there.
Yeah.
And but there were moments when the pain was so great that I wanted to quit, wanted to give up.
What about the pain of rejection? Did you experience that?
Oh, absolutely. I was not the ladies' man. Yeah. You know, growing up in high school and all of that stuff, and there were moments when I wanted to, you know, experience all of the dating stuff, but my mother was somewhere praying and, you know, praying the wrong people away. And just, there were times when she literally, I remember one time she told a young lady, she said, you're very nice, but you're not what I prayed for. I'm like, well, that ruined this date. So,
yeah.
But there were moments where you'd write the note, do you like me? Check yes or no. Mm-hmm. Of course, it would be a big X on the no. Like, did you mean yes accidentally?
Yeah.
But the moments of rejection were actually God protecting me. What looked like rejection then was really protection.
Right.
Because what I didn't know was that God is able to see around the bend.
Right.
And the moments where I'm like, God, how come I can't go and do what everybody else is doing? And my mom's always praying, and I'm always in church, and I'm always leading the choir. How come I can't be out there? Because I'd been set apart.
Right.
I didn't know it then.
Yeah.
Who knew I'd be sitting at this moment with you, knowing that what you've meant and how your teaching and how the Lord has used you has impacted me. For me to be sitting here is a miracle and a dream, because the young men in my community who don't have a father, who come up with a single mother, mm-hmm. they don't have the same testimony as me. Historically and disproportionately, they don't get a chance to achieve their dreams. But I've been able, by the grace of God, in those moments of pain and loss, in those moments where I was rejected, mm-hmm. not just by girls, but I'm talking about being rejected by people who didn't see my gifts, didn't see a calling on me, but the Lord did.
People can always find something wrong with you, can't they?
Oh, my goodness.
It's amazing how many, just all the different things the enemy uses. And, you know, of course, I was abused in my past, and when I began to teach the word, it was very, like, not popular for women to be doing that. And so I got asked to leave my church. I lost my friends. I mean, there was a lot of pain and rejection along the way. And we're really wanting to encourage people today that, you know, what happened in your past can be the reason why you are the way you are, but you can't let it become an excuse.
Yes.
To park at the point of your pain and just stay there.
You know, when you think about biblical models for what you just said, I think of David, 2 Samuel.
Right.
The prophet shows up and says, are all the young men here? Jesse's like, well, there remains yet the youngest.
Right,
he's outside. You don't want him.
You don't even want to see him.
So here we see a story, a picture of a father who was so blind that he didn't even see that there was a king in his house.
Right, yeah.
There are people who are even close to us who don't see our gifts or our calling, but that rejection actually seeds a humility in us. For those of us who have dealt with that, we have a different grace. When you have been rejected, when you've been marginalized and overlooked, you have a different grace for other people. I think God allows the rejection to seed grace in us so that we're kinder, a little softer.
Absolutely.
And that is what I learned when moments where I wanted to be embraced, when I wanted a leader to take me under their wing.
Yeah.
But and then they didn't. And I'm like, well, Lord, I guess it's just me and you. And he said, that's what I wanted all along.
Yeah, I'm a firm believer that everything that we go through in life, it doesn't mean that God did it, doesn't mean he arranged for it, he's a good father, but he does use those things to give us experience.
Yes.
And I think that's a very important word, experience that then equips us for the thing that he wants us to do.
Yes.
And so the big thing that we want people to hear today is don't park at the point of your pain. Don't let what has happened to you control your destiny. And maybe some people today just need to have a little more fire stirred up on the inside of them to say, I'm not going to just, you know, if the enemy's already hurt you, then don't let him continue to hurt you by not living the life that you were meant to live. And it's never too late to begin right now.
I love that. It's never too late to begin right now or to begin again.
Right.
Because many of us, because of the pain, we try something, and when it doesn't work out right away, we give up. But I love that Jesus, to me, is not just the power of the resurrection. He is the power of again.
Yeah.
That we can begin again, that we can start again, that we can start afresh and anew. And I think even for my life, looking at the places where the enemy attempted to hijack.
Right.
And we use the scripture, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. There have been times when I'm like, God, it really hurts. I'm really, why did you let the enemy hit me?
Right.
And he said, it didn't prosper.
Yeah.
I didn't say it wouldn't hurt you. I just said it wouldn't prosper.
Yeah.
And the enemy's job is to steal, kill, and destroy. But if you're still alive, then you need to have an excitement and a holy indignation towards the enemy that you're going to live the life that God intended for you to live, as you've said. And for me, that passion, that drive every morning is, I didn't have a father there. Yes, I dealt with abuse. Yes, I've lost loved one. Yes, there were times when I was rejected by leaders and by people that I wanted to embrace me. And none of it has stopped me because I had a heavenly father that was determined to get me to destiny if I held on to his hand.
That's perfect.
And I walked through the open door.
Thank you so much, John. We're really looking forward to you sharing at our conference this year. You know, you can hear more of this kind of good stuff if you come to the conference this year, and I believe it's really going to bless you. The bottom line of what we want you to know today is there's no pit so deep that God cannot reach down in it and lift you out. And yes, I'm talking to you. I think so often people hear things like this and they always think, well, that might work for somebody else, but it's not going to work for me. But it will work for you because God is no respecter of persons. If we will follow His guidelines that He lays out in His Word, we can recover from absolutely anything. There's nothing you can't recover from. So I'm asking you today, don't just stay parked at something that hurt you, a disappointment you had, even something that you might consider a failure. You know, I love what John Maxwell says, we need to learn how to fail forward. And I don't really think there is any such thing as failing as long as you're willing to keep putting one foot in front of the other one and going forward. You may make mistakes, but you don't fail unless you completely give up. And we don't want you to do that. Good things are in store for you. Today, we're offering you the Word of God. I know you're shocked because I do that every day, but the Word of God is what has changed my life, John's life, and I believe it has the power. Now, I know it has the power to change your life. But you need to read good word-filled books, and you need to listen to good CDs and watch good DVDs, and you got to get the stuff in you for it to do you any good. So today we're offering you 8 teachings on CD. It's called The Path to God's Purpose. There's teaching from myself, from John, from Chris Kane, from other guests that we had at our conference last year. You are going to love, 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 love it. So do yourself a favor, take advantage of this offer today, and do it right away. Thanks for being with us today. We sure love you, and we are excited about what God wants to do in your life. You know, you've heard a lot of my testimony, I guess. Probably some of you haven't, but I'm not going to retell it again about the sexual abuse from my dad. But it was long, 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 long time, lots of years, not an occasional thing. All the time was an awful, awful, awful mess. And so I was pretty broken by the time I left home. And I like to tell this because I think a lot of people do this. I thought when I left home that the problem was over. I thought I left the problem, but the thing was I took it with me in my soul. I got away from being abused anymore, but I still had the mess inside of me. And I looked okay on the outside, but boy, was I messed up inside. And there's so many people, even in the church, like that, because a lot of people turn to God because they are hurting. And then we just kind of get together in our churches and just hurt each other. And, you know, we need to learn to let people heal and to let people be honest and to let people talk without judging them and to not tell their secrets, to be able to listen to what somebody says and not go blabbing it everywhere. Amen? We need to be able to trust people. But so I left home, and I married the first guy that showed any interest in me because I was afraid that nobody would ever want me. And this is the part of the story that for some reason I don't really ever tell. It's not that I mind to tell anything, as you know. I'll tell my business, yours, you know. I tell Dave, if I wasn't married to him, I couldn't even preach. I tell his stuff all the time, you know. And so I married this first guy that came along, and he said he loved me. Neither one of us knew what love was. He had probably more problems than me, if that was possible. And, you know, people with problems very often marry other people that are all messed up. And so he was a car salesman, and back then, I don't know if they still do this or not, but if somebody bought a car and they had one like they wanted in another state, they would pay somebody from there to drive that car to where the person was. I don't know now if they just truck everything around, but he was going to drive a car to Albuquerque, New Mexico, and he was going to, yay, and then we were going to live there, and he was going to work as a car salesman there. So we drove this car to Albuquerque, and After 30 days, he just didn't come home one night. We were actually living in a motel, and he just didn't come home, just left me there. 18, left in Albuquerque, no money. What am I gonna do now? So I didn't wanna call my dad and ask for help because I knew what that would mean, and so I finally found a friend that sent me $75 to buy a bus ticket and had to leave most of what I had, which really wasn't anything anyway, and came back home. Well, I was just dumb, and so every time he would come back and tell me he was sorry, I'd take him back. Come on, we got any other dumb women in here? Every time. Come on. I mean, I can't even tell you how many times I did that. He'd come back, oh, I love you, I missed you so much. I was so wrong, and, you know, I was in a bar the other night, and I heard him playing this song, and it reminded me of you, and I realized how much I missed you, and I would just, you know, because I was so desperate for anybody to love me. Come on, desperate people do goofy stuff. And so I'd take him back again. Well, then the next trip we made was to California, Oakland, California. Anybody here from Oakland? Okay. Well, so we lived with some car salesman guy, friend of his out there for about 2 weeks. The next thing I know, he disappears again. Just disappears again. Now I'm out in Oakland, California. I'm 18 and a few months now, I guess. And so I got a job and I lived in a one-room apartment motel type thing. And I'd walk to work, walk back, walk to work, walk back. And finally got another bus ticket and came back home, left all my stuff out there. And when I mean came back home, every time I came back, I'd have to go live with somebody that I knew. Well, so finally, toward the end of our 5-year, I can't call it a marriage because it didn't even remotely consider that, but toward the end of the 5 years that we were married, I got pregnant, had my son David, who's sitting down here tonight with my lovely granddaughter and his lovely wife, and my lovely grandson's running around here somewhere, and I named him David, which was not that guy's name. But it was the name of the guy that God had for me. Come on. God's got somebody for you. Don't mess it up. You don't have to take a detour. And so while I was pregnant, I want you to get this. While I was pregnant, he left me and lived with another woman 2 blocks down the street from where we lived. And every morning when I would go to work, I'd see his car parked in front of her house, and he was telling everybody that the baby wasn't his. So when I was like as pregnant as you could be, I was over 9 months. I had to quit work. They didn't even want me there anymore. I didn't have anywhere to go. Home was just not an option for me. Didn't have anywhere to go. So my hairdresser took me in and let me live with her and her mom until I had the baby. Of course, when I was in the hospital and had the baby, he came back again. Oh, I love you so much. I'm so sorry. I've been so dumb. And of course, you know, silly me, I took him back again. Sometimes I can't believe I was ever that dumb, but I was. And so when we left the hospital with the baby, we had nowhere to live. So he called a woman that was a Christian woman that used to be married to one of his brothers. I still remember her name was Carol. She was a kind woman. And she took us in, and we lived with her for a few weeks. And the next thing I know, he's off with another woman again. So, you know, so the point is, can you imagine? Now here I am now. Can you imagine, could you imagine by looking at me, is there any evidence at all that I ever had that kind of a life? Is there any evidence? No, none at all. You know what? I got up, I made up my bed, and I went on with life. See, if you're thinking that you're always going to be stained and you're always going to, you know, something's always going to be. I mean, I remember when I used to believe that because I'd been abused, I would always have a second-rate life. I actually believed that. I remember thinking my life could never be, I mean, maybe it could be okay, but my life could never be what it could have been if this wouldn't have happened to me. But you have to realize that sometimes the very things that God uses the most are the things that happen to you that are so bad and so painful and so unfair, but they help make you the person that you are. And I'll tell you one thing, if they don't do anything else, they give you a boatload full of compassion for other people that are hurting. Now let's look for a minute at Daniel's three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Now, even though this is in the book of Daniel, it's not about Daniel, it's about his friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But you know, the friends that you have are very important. And to be honest, a lot of times the friends that you have show a lot about you and who you are. And Daniel was not only a man of excellence and integrity, but he had friends who were excellent and had integrity. And these were men who would not compromise. You know what the word compromise means? It means to go just a little bit below what you know is right. Just a little bit. We don't need to compromise in our lives. There's too much compromise out in the world. We're living in a day and a time when we need to stand strong for Jesus. Now, this Daniel 3:20, actually 26 and 27, we're going to read 27 first. And the satraps, the deputies, the governors, and the king's counselors gathered around together and saw these men who had been thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down and worship the king. They saw that the fire had no power upon their bodies, nor was the hair of their heads singed, neither were their garments scorched or changed in color or condition, and here's my favorite part, nor had even the smell of smoke clung to them. No evidence. They were in the fiery furnace, and when they came out, there was no evidence. Come on now. No evidence. It's time to let God get rid of the evidence in your life. It's time to stop dragging around your ashes. Give them up and get beauty instead. Come on. See, here's the thing you got to get this weekend. You can't keep the old stuff and get the new stuff. Come on, I said, you can't keep the old stuff and get the new stuff. You can't keep a bad attitude and get the good life that Jesus wants to give you. You can't keep self-pity and get powerful. Mm-hmm. And some people, to be honest, the things that have hurt them become their identity. They're like their badge that they wear and carry around all the time. Look at me, I've been hurt. Look at me, I've been hurt. You know what I'd rather say? Look at me, I've been healed. Look at me, I've been healed. Look at me, there's no evidence that I ever went through the junk I went through. Look what God has done for me. Don't you just love Jesus? I'll tell you what, I am just wacky, madly in love with Jesus. He is just so wonderful. Who would not want to be a Christian? I cannot believe that anybody would not want to be a Christian. My gosh, it's so much fun. You might say, well, I'm not having much fun at it. Well, maybe that's because you don't know how to be a right one yet. Amen? Jesus. I tell you what, I bet you the devil is so stinking mad about this conference. I bet you that he can't hardly stand what's going on in here tonight, because we have got people from every kind of denomination that you could possibly imagine in here. I mean, Jesus. All right. Not even the smell of smoke had clung to them. Verse 26 says, though, and I love this, Daniel 3:26. Then Nebuchadnezzar came near the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, you servants of the Most High God, come out and come here. Then they came out of the midst of the fire. Let's think about another situation. When Jesus raised Lazarus from the dead, he walked up to that tomb and he said, come out. You know, I think Jesus is saying that to a lot of people here tonight. And if I could shout and get by with it, I would, but I can't because I got to save my voice tonight. It's time to come out. It's time to come out of those messes and come out of that pit. Come out of that pity party and come out of living in the past. It's time to get away from where you've been parked all your life. It's time to go and do something that is amazing with your life. Amen? Come on, when you're living less than your potential, you're not happy. And I can tell you what happens. Unhappy people make other people unhappy. I mean, you do. If you'll listen to me tonight, your family will be so glad to get you back. I mean, they will pay you to come here next year. When Jesus told Lazarus to come out, then he said to him, take off your grave clothes. And I think it's basically the same thing. It's like, how many years was I a Christian, but I was still wearing the grave clothes of the past? It's time to let go of everything that's ever soured your life, whether it's something that was done to you or something you did. And it's time now, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Come on, I said now. I said now. Come on, I see you all the way up here on the top. I said now. Right now. Not some other time, right now. Jesus Christ makes you whole. Another thing that is very, very, very detrimental to people is how you feel about yourself. And I found this out many, many, many years ago, and it was so good when I did, but my main problem was I felt bad about myself. Because I'd been abused, I took the blame. Got to be something wrong with me. Why is it that when somebody don't like us, there's always got to be something wrong with us? Why is it if a woman's married to a man that leaves her, there's got to be something wrong with her? There must have been something wrong with me. Or if one of your kids turned out bad, well, there must have been something wrong with me. We need to stop there's enough stuff that we actually do without taking a bunch of false guilt and false blame on us all the time and letting the devil just load us down with a bunch of junk that's not even reality. It wasn't my fault my father abused me. It wasn't my fault that the first guy I married to was a first-class jerk. I didn't make him the way he was. I didn't make my father the way he was. Amen? A lot of things even that we do wrong out of ignorance. You know, I'm sure that I wasn't a perfect mother, but really when I look back for the little I knew, I was actually pretty on top of it, you know? I mean, wow, could I have done some nut ball stuff? So I want to tell you another little story in the Bible that has really helped me, and I hope it helps somebody here tonight. You know, under the old covenant, back in the Old Testament, they made covenants with people, and it's kind of not like what we do today, you know. People giving you their word today doesn't mean too much anymore, but back then, boy, if you had a covenant with somebody, you kept it not only with them, but even to their children and even grandchildren after that. And so David, who became the king, and Jonathan, who was Saul's son, the previous king, had a covenant relationship. And that basically means anything that's mine is yours, anything that's yours is mine, anything you need, you got it, I'll help you with anything. We need more covenant relationships. Don't you think so? And so Saul was dead, Jonathan was dead, and David is remembering this covenant, and he still wants to bless somebody from Saul's and Jonathan's bloodline. So he went to his servant. I'm in 2 Samuel 9, and I'm reading in verse 1. And David said, is there still anyone left of the house of Saul to whom I might show kindness for Jonathan's sake? I love that. I kind of look at it like this. It's like God looking around the room tonight and saying, is there anybody that I can show kindness to for Jesus' sake? See? For Jesus' sake. God's not good to us and kind to us because we deserve it. The relative that David was going to bless, he'd never done anything. He wasn't even in the covenant relationship. David just wanted to bless him for Jonathan's sake. And God wants to bless you for Jesus' sake. And sometimes all we got to do is learn how to receive it. Just stop fighting him off. And so they told him about a boy named Mephibosheth. And they said, but he's crippled in both feet. And actually what happened was when they were running from the house, when they heard that David had become king, they'd been lied about David, and they were running from the house, and they fell down the steps with the boy, and he became crippled in both of his feet. And he was living out in a place called Lodibar, which meant without pasture. So it was not such a great place. And so he was told about this Mephibosheth, and so David ordered him to be brought to the palace. And when he brought him in, verse 6, Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, came to David and fell on his face and did obeisance. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, behold, your servant. Now, I thought about this a little bit today, and I don't know that I'm 100% right, but I'm just going to pretend like I am. And I always say it's my meeting. I can pretend I'm right if I want to. So, you know, you almost look at that and you think that he bowed down in worship, but I'm not so sure part of it wasn't fear. I think he was afraid. See, he knew whose grandson he was, and he understood covenant. He knew it extended to him. And if he wouldn't have been fearful, he would have already been knocking on the palace door long before that, saying, I came to get what's mine. Amen. And not in any kind of an irreverent attitude, but when we pray, that's kind of what you're doing. You're going to get what's yours, not because you've earned it or deserved it, but because Jesus has. Amen. That's why you don't need to beg God to do things for you that he already wants to do more than you even want to receive them. Who can I bless for Jesus' sake? And boy, I got a hold of that, and I'm like, here I am. Pour it on, God. I'll take all you want to give me. I know I don't deserve it, but if you're looking for somebody to bless, yoo-hoo, here I am. And David said, well, hey, I guess I must have been right, because David said, fear not. Verse 7, for I will surely show you kindness for Jonathan, your father's sake, and I will restore to you all the land of Saul, your grandfather, and you shall eat always at my table. Now, watch verse 8. This shows the problem. And the cripple bowed himself and said, what is your servant that you should look upon such a dead dog as I am? That was the image he had of himself. And probably part of it was because he was crippled and lame in both feet. And probably part of it was because he lived in Lodibar. You know, sometimes your circumstances can even affect you and make you feel like you're a lot less than what you really are. And I know I talk about this a lot, but I just want you to do a little heart check tonight and just ask yourself how you feel about yourself. Because, see, if you don't really love yourself in a balanced way, I'm not talking about being in love with yourself, but if you don't really love yourself in a balanced way, then you're going to miss out on so many things that God has for you, because you're always going to be shrinking back in fear from something or thinking that you don't deserve what God wants to give you. The more you like yourself, the more you're going to like other people. Amen? The more mercy that you receive from God, the more mercy you'll have to give away. The more love you receive from God, the more love you'll have to give away. You can't give away something you don't have in you. Amen? You got to have it to give it. Well, many of us have been hurt in life, but the good news is Jesus wants to make you completely whole. He came to heal us everywhere that we hurt, and He wants to start doing it right now. So let go of everything that has soured your life, get away from where you've been parked, and go do something amazing with your life and do it for the glory of God. Today we're offering you 8 teachings on CD. Oh my goodness, that is a lot of teaching. That has to be life-changing. And it's about the path to God's purpose. You're going to get teaching from some of the speakers at our women's conference from last year, as well as from me, John Gray, Chris Kane. I mean, this is just going to be like a full course meal that's just going to help you really grow in God. So be sure that you place your order right away. Nothing is better to spend your money on than the Word of God. And I mean that sincerely. The Word of God never grows old. Every time you listen to it, it just gets better and better and better. So God bless you and have a great day.